Luke chapter number. I tell you, it's just a blessing to have people serving the Lord. Take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5. Luke 5. Yes, I hear you, baby. I hear you. Sometimes she's the only one that amens me. All right, I mean it now. Sometimes she's the only one hanging and supporting her preacher. Luke chapter number 5. We're in our series called The Son of Man. The reason I've named it that way is because all of the Bible is inspired. All of it, every bit of it, every scrap of it, every piece of it is equally inspired. But the really miraculous thing about the Bible is, one of the proofs that it's of God, is the fact that the personality and the point of view of the person who was inspired to write it comes through, and there are no contradictions. That's another reason why we know the Bible is completely of God. And even though God had men pen it, he just carried them along. And it's inspired, and it's true, and it's perfect. And I've always believed that if there's a problem understanding it, it's on my end and not God's. Matthew, as I said, wrote from the standpoint of him being king, Jesus being King of Kings. And that makes sense. Matthew was a government official. He worked for the government, and so that made sense. And then Mark, being the first gospel of the four to be written, saw him as a servant, and Jesus did the greatest service to mankind because he came to meet our greatest need, which was to be a sacrifice for our sin. And then, of course, Luke sees him as the perfect man, he being the only writer of the New Testament that was not Jewish. He was Greek, and he's a physician. He also documents more miracles than any of the others. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the synoptic gospels, meaning synonym. They're synonymous. They cover a lot of the same ground, where John, 90% of John is new. 90% of John. John was written as the last gospel written. It's some couple of a decade or two or more between the third gospel and John's. And so it's not that John was correcting anything. It's just that the Lord inspired him to write about other events that weren't brought up in the first three. And so, but I've never preached through the book of Luke, and it's been such a journey for me. I'm doing all this talking so you can get your Bible out. I didn't know if you realized that or not. I'm watching you going, where's your Bible? Get your Bible. Okay, Luke chapter number 5, we find ourselves in the text today. I'm going to read the odds, you'll read the evens, follow along with me. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering him said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Let us pray. God, we love you. And Father, it truly is a privilege to be called by your name. And Father, we pray that you would advance your kingdom and exalt your name today, and that you would live your life through us. And God, if there's one right here on campus or watching online right now that does not know you as their Savior, I pray, God, that they would repent and trust Christ. But for us, your children, God, we ask that you would grow us. Help us to know you better, to understand your will for us, and to perform it for your glory and honor. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know if you've ever watched the show called The Chosen. It's new. It's out. You can get an app on your phone. It's free, and it's the life of Christ. And they're doing a wonderful job. But I think people forget that people have emotions. I don't know if you realize that, and that is because God has emotions. And one of the things that's great about the movie The Chosen is it reminds us that even people who lived back then had emotion. They had humor. They had sarcasm. They barked at each other just like we bark at each other. And we, because when we read the Bible, we have a tendency to read it very sterile and without emotion. We're reading to understand. We're reading to get information. But these are real people living real lives, real events, and they have sarcasm and they have humor and they pick at each other. And sometimes they bug each other, just like some of our friends here, as we do to each other. Do you realize that people, because that's, I was going to say, you know, our church, you know, especially before COVID, but even now, we still have people from all over the world that come to our church that watch us online. And as you get to know them, and sometimes when you get past the language barrier, you find out they have personality just like you do. They laugh at the same things. They have sarcasm. They there's things that bug them, and they have emotions, and they're people just like us. Well, Peter was no different. James, John, and Andrew, they were just like us. They had dreams and goals, and they interacted each day. They worked hard just like you and I do. You know, do you have any goals? They had goals. I'm not talking about New Year's resolutions. I'm talking about things that you'd like to have or want to achieve. I'm not talking about wishes. Well, it'd be great if we had this or great. No, if wishes were fishes, we'd all catch nets. That's what my mother and my father would say. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about goals for your life, things you want to achieve. We're coming up on the Olympics, and there are people right now working very hard to achieve goals that they've put a lot of effort in. Is there things that you need? You know, there were Peter, James, John, Andrew, they all had needs, daily needs and concerns and worries. And you and I have needs like that. And we do things to try to see that those needs are met. And, you know, we go to certain lengths to make sure they're met. You know, in the scripture today, I mean, these men were going to some length to meet a need they had. For instance, do you have a need for healing? You know, in chapter 4 here and verse number 31, you find somebody, a man who had an unclean spirit, verse 33 through 35, who came to church, came to the synagogue. Why did he come to the synagogue? To find healing. To find healing. And he met Jesus. Verse 34 says, or actually verse 33 says, and there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him. Why? Because it wasn't time yet. Jesus wasn't ready to reveal who he was yet. He says, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. I mean, that person came to church for a healing. And because of the fame that spread, because of that, people came to Peter's house that night to find healings. They left their home and their comfort zone and came to a man's house and found healing on the porch. Look what it says here in verse number 40. "Now when the sun was setting, all they that had sick with divers diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on them and every one of them and healed them. And devils came out of many, crying out, saying, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God." You know, Peter even invited the preacher home so he could heal his mother-in-law. You think about that. You know, our greatest need, and I know many of you personally, I know your personal testimony of how you were saved and how you trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Even now, our greatest need is still more of Jesus and less of us. Amen. I mean, that's what John the Baptist said, right? He said, "He must increase and I must decrease." So let me know, what lengths will you go? What lengths will you go to find healing? What lengths will you go to have more of Christ? You know, look at verse number 42. "And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him." They came out of their homes, left the town, and walked out into the fields and came unto him. What lengths would you go to find Jesus, to have Jesus make a difference in you? People will call me and say, "Listen, do you offer counseling?" I say, "Yes, I do." And they'll say, "Well, what do you charge?" I don't charge a thing. But I ask them three questions. If your situation can be improved, are you interested? "Well, yes, that's why I'm calling." "Well, are you willing to do what it takes?" "Well, yes." I said, "Okay, number three, and don't say this until you thought it through. Are you willing to let the Bible to be your authority in your healing?" That's the tough part. What lengths are you willing to go to not, I'm not talking about wishes or dreams. I'm talking about needs and things that you desire for yourself. How big a hurdle are you willing to jump? How are you willing, at what length are you willing to go to have Jesus be more of him in your life and less of you? Do you understand? It's not about you trying to live the Christian life. You must understand this. The problem is so many people are like, I'm going to live for God. No, you don't understand. God wants to live through you. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6. You can't do it. But he can if you let him. So what lengths are you willing to go to let Christ be magnified and glorify himself in and through you? He's the one who wants to do the work. He just wants us to get out of the way. You understand in Proverbs 8:17, it says, I love them that love me and those that seek me early. Seek me early. I don't always like that word. Seek me early shall find me. What lengths are you willing to go to have God do something great in your life? Psalm 119, verse 2, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and seek him with the whole heart. What lengths would you go? In the scriptures today, these people were willing to leave their homes and come to Peter's house to get healed. They came to the church. That man came to the church, and then his fame spread, and they left their house and came to Peter's. And then when they couldn't find Peter or Jesus at Peter's, they were willing to go out in the field and find where he was praying. What lengths would you go to have the word of God? You know, imagine you didn't have one. I mean, how many Bibles do you have? Think about it. How many Bibles do you have? Do you know where they all are? You ever been digging through something to only to find a New Testament and go, hey, I forgot I had that one. See, the Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter 1 that the word of God was precious in those days, meaning it was hard to find. You couldn't get it. And here in chapter number 5, it said they followed him to the Lake of Gennesaret, which is another word for the Sea of Galilee or the Lake of Tiberias. And it says here that they pressed upon Jesus. That means they wanted to hear what he was saying. You ever been in a crowd trying to hear what the person in the front's trying to say? Isn't it crazy? You walk into some place and the person at the front desk is trying to give instructions and everybody's talking. You're like, I can't hear. So they're pressing on Jesus and Jesus is backing up, getting his sandals in the water. He's like, wait, time out. He sees Peter's boat, Simon Peter's boat. And he said, let me borrow the boat. Can I get up in the boat? Can I? And at that moment, the bow of that ship became the pulpit. He was able to kind of get back from the land and the people were able to sit down on the sand and everybody could hear him and everybody could see him. Kind of like a little amphitheater kind of situation. What lengths would you go to hear the word of God if you didn't have it? I mean, you can go to the Dollar Tree and get a Bible for a buck. Okay, there are hundreds of Bible apps on your phone where you can get the Bible for free. You just get them on there. Alexander Scorby is on YouTube for free. You can hear all 66 books of the Bible. That man knows how to pronounce every one of them Old Testament names correctly. That's how I learn, man. Is it Baal Shazer? You know, I didn't know how to say that until I heard him say it. And so if for nothing else, you'll learn all the grammatical, it's phonetical. That's how the phonetical speaking. I love that. But have you ever heard the proverb, familiarity breeds contempt? Many of your industrial accidents, probably even this happens in the military, accidents happen when we're so used to being around certain machinery or doing certain tasks that we forget that we're in close proximity to something that can hurt us or kill us. We're tired. Middle of the afternoon, we didn't get very good sleep, and you're working around machinery, and you've been around that same machine forever, and you get a little careless, and your sleeve gets caught. I remember in junior high, my shop teacher, when in doubt, girls, marry the fat kid from shop. He can fix things, all right? But anyway, he was showing us the proper use of the lathe, a wood lathe, and he's going back and forth, and his tie got caught. And all of a sudden he goes whack like that and knocks the wood out of it. And we're all like. When you get comfortable with something, you lose your respect for it. The problem is we have such great availability and access to the word of God. We have gotten to the point where we don't respect it hardly anymore because there's one everywhere. And there's one, sometimes it used to be on billboards. Brother Jim, remember when it said that thou shalt not kill or thou shalt whatever. And he said, I meant that, you know, those billboards. Why don't you come over to the house and bring the kids on Sunday, you know, from God, you know. The word of God is everywhere and we have lost our respect because it's so readily available. But these people, because the leadership, the spiritual leadership in Israel was so aloof, this man was willing to come and sit down and actually give them the word of God, and they were ready to walk out of their city, away from their job, so they could come and hear something they didn't have access to before. Even today, though, I understand we live in the East Coast distribution center of woke. I get that. But even people here, we're in the right coast, even the west, even the left coast has, there's still people over there that still want the word of God. And we need to be ready to give that to them. If you're not interested in the word of God, then very little can be done for you. When I talk to people on the phone and I'm like, look, yeah, I can help you. But the word of God has got to be your authority, right? There's nothing I can do. I cannot help you. There's nothing. All I can do is show you how to walk with God and God transform your life. And God will if you'll walk with God. People today are hungry. So as I said, in verse number 2, a boat becomes a pulpit. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him. That's old English for he requested, because that's what you're doing when you pray is request. Prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Peter had a front row seat for the best preacher that's ever walked in shoe leather. I mean, incredible. How far would you go to hear your favorite pastor? Would you drive 3-4 hours to hear your favorite speaker or person? There's a couple of guys in heaven that if they were still alive, yeah, I'd drive 3-4 hours to go hear them. I mean, they're just that good. But you know, preaching is still God's chosen method of communicating his truth. I don't understand why God chose it, other than God said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that by the foolishness of preaching. Why? Because the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. He chose the foolish things of this world. Now in Nehemiah 8, it explains what preaching is. Let me read it to you. Nehemiah 8:8, if you're taking notes. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. This is how God's always done it. This is how God's going to continue to do it. That's how Jesus is going to do it when he sits on the throne in Israel. That's how he's going to do it. Verse number 4, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, I was talking about the chosen. I think they've done a wonderful job depicting the humanity of these guys and how they acted and behaved. And so, you know, you check it out. That's just my opinion. But the reason he said go out to the deep was because I like to fish, and I hope you understand, you don't fish in the shallows during the day. You fish in the shallows in the early morning or the evening. But when the sun's up, you go out to the deep water because that's where the fish are. And Jesus said, hey, why don't you head out to toward the middle of the lake and let's go out and get you some fish. You know, God is in the blessing business. It is God's pleasure to bless us. Now, look at Simon's response. This is Simon Peter, the apostle who will be called Peter. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, it's like that condescending, bless your heart. You carters don't know nothing about fishing. That's how he said it to him, right? Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Now, what do you think Jesus' response was? Jesus ever glare at you like that? Like, really? That's the excuse you're going to go with? Really? That's what you're going to do? Right? That's how I imagine that's how God looks at us when we give him our excuses. Now I've heard some doozies, right, in my life, some doozy excuses. But gee, I can just see Jesus going, so you're gonna go with that one. You're gonna go with that one, okay? Peter is a professional fisherman. I'm sure he thought this. I would have. I'm not a professional fisherman, but I'd be like, look, you're just a carpenter, dude. Okay? I know you mean well. All right? Do you ever say that to God? Look, God, I know you mean well, but really? Seriously? You point at the Bible. Seriously, that's what you want me to do? Look, I went to the synagogue in chapter 4 to shut my wife up, okay? Because all she did is nag. So I finally went to the synagogue and she'd shut up. You think, well, that's just terrible. That's why I went to church. Keep my mama quiet. And then when I got married, it was keep my wife quiet. What? All the men are like, no, baby. We love Jesus and you so much. I went to the synagogue, chapter 4, shut my wife up. You healed that demon-possessed kid. Pretty good trick there, by the way. And then my wife went on and on and on about it. So I had to invite you to my house, right? And then you healed my mother-in-law, which is, you know, kind of a mixed blessing, because now I got two women nagging at me. Thanks. Thank you so much. And I know you healed all those people who on the front porch, but you know, fishing is not a medical issue. Fishing is not a teaching issue. Fishing is not a spiritual issue. And I think Jesus is going, you want a bit? What was Peter really saying to Jesus? Look what it says. He says, Master, we've toiled all night. We've taken nothing. He's going, don't fill my boat. Come on, Lord, don't fill my boat. I mean, let's face it. Besides the fish aren't biting, I'm a third generation fisherman. It's more art than science, and I obviously haven't figured it all out. And Peter forgot who he was talking to. He didn't know. He didn't understand it yet. Lord, don't fill my boat. Besides, I just cleaned the net. I just got the smell out of him. I'd have to rewash the net. Lord, don't fill my boat. Wait a minute. This is how you make a living, right? I mean, that's why if I was Jesus, I'd have went, this is how you make a living, right? This is how you provide for your family. You do understand it is God who gives you the mental and physical capability to make a living for your family. You understand that God is providing a living to you from your ability he gave you to work. We do not worship the DOD, but thank God he uses the DOD to provide you an income. Right? We used to call it worshiping the yellow God because everybody back in Illinois worked for Caterpillar at that time. We do not worship the great yellow God, but we are thankful God uses Caterpillar to provide. That's how it is. Right? So he's like, look, Master, don't fill my... How many times have you and I missed the blessings of God because we're too lazy to follow through on what he told us to do? I'll tell you, the sermon you needed most, brothers and sisters, is the one you missed. And the encouragement you needed was the fellowship you missed. We had a good time at the men's prayer advance. We had as much fun fellowshipping and praying together afterwards as we did sitting in services and hearing the messages. But look at verse number 5. I love this. He goes, nevertheless. Okay, I'm going to shut the preacher up now. I shut my wife up. I shut my mom. Okay, now I'm going to shut the preacher up. Because on the show, The Chosen, he doesn't shove his boat away from shore. He just grabs the net, looks at Jesus, goes, fine. Isn't that how you and I respond? When God says, hey, why don't you, Lord, do you realize God knows more about your vocation than you do? He knows more, and you think to yourself, well, there wasn't this and that back then. Yeah, but God knows more about whatever it is you do all day. He knows more about it than you do. And I'm sure Peter said, watch this. Watch this, guys. We're going to shut the preacher up today. He says, nevertheless, at thy word, see, he's throwing it in his face. People actually lived that way back then because that's how people live today. I'm looking at people who have sarcasm. It's not a superpower or a fruit of the Spirit, by the way. Just want to let you know that. Right? Nevertheless, at thy word. Okay, so if nothing comes to this, you'll shut up and go away, right? I will let down the net. Singular. So Peter just grabs one of the nets, probably the smallest one he got, and went, looks over at Jesus. How many times have you and I missed God's blessing because we half-heartedly obeyed? You realize God's commands are directed at you as a person. Did you realize God's will is a command for you as a person? And God's promises that he makes to you are his commands to you personally. Obedience is our only response that's righteous. The only righteous response you have in this life is to obey God. When presented with a command from your Savior, with a promise from your Savior, the only righteous option you have is to go, yes, Lord. God is in the blessing business. So what lengths are you willing to go personally to have the blessings of God? I think many of us quit too soon. Many people give up because of unbelief. You know, I prayed once and it didn't work. I went to church once. And I got laid off. I put an offering in the plate and I got a flat tire. That actually happened, by the way. I put my first tithe check in the plate the first week of January 1991. I think it was 91 or 92. I can't remember. I got saved in 90 and Sarah had been wanting to tithe all this time. And I'm like, she's crazy. Do you know how much 10% is? Oh my gosh, that's $70. I mean, that's 10%. I made $350 a week. Do you understand how many hours I had to work, put $70 in the plate? But I did. I put it in the plate. And the next day, as I'm, God is my witness, I woke up and that Mazda B2000 had a flat. You know how the football players go, good job, God, when they make a touchdown? Do you ever go, huh? Right? How many times do we miss the blessings of God because we only half-heartedly obey? You know, you reap what you sow, and you reap more than you sow, but you reap after you sow. You know, God is not a slot machine for winners, nor is God a Coke machine for payers. Verse number 6, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. Brothers and sisters, if you don't get anything else out of the message today, you need to put this on a pillow, a throw pillow, maybe go out to Etsy and buy one, or maybe that needs to be your job. Go make something, put it on Etsy that says, obedience precedes blessings. Amen. In Deuteronomy 11, verse 26, God says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. Do you understand? God didn't sit on the throne and just hit you with lightning bolts. You think the bad stuff that happens in your life is God smacking you upside the head. No, what it is God taking his hand off you. When my boy was little, when Josh was just a little boy, he's probably 3 or 4, he'd say, I do, Daddy, I'll help, which means I'll help you, Daddy. I'll help you, Daddy. I'm like, no, baby, this is a gallon of milk. You can't carry that. He goes, I do, Daddy. I do, Daddy. Fine, grab it. He'll drag it off the truck. God don't got to hit you with a lightning bolt. God just got to go, okay, help yourself. Do you understand? So obedience always precedes blessing. The opposite of blessing is cursing. A blessing if you obey the commandment of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey. Have you ever obeyed with an attitude? You know, I told you my son loved to help me when he was 3 or 4. I don't know when they hit a teenager, they stopped that. I don't know where that switch was, but if I could turn that switch back on, I would, right? But do you have anybody at your house that obeys with an attitude? Huh? Okay, I'm not looking. Do you ever wonder why you're not experiencing the blessings other people get? Ever wonder why? Now, I'm not talking about the Joel Osteen blessing. I'm not talking about give me 50 bucks, got to give you 1,000. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the blessings. When he blesses the works of your hands. That's what he was about to do for Peter. Peter was still going to have to drag that net in. Peter was still going to have to go through the work. But he blessed it. Ever wonder why your prayers don't get answered? Because partial obedience is not actually obedience. And delayed obedience is not actually obedience. And obedience with an attitude does not classify as obedience. Look at verse number 7. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and they would that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. Holy cow, imagine, that was one little net. One little net. Sunk both ships. If he'd have threw all the nets and done what God had said, how much fish would they have had? If he'd have done what he was told. That was just one little net. See, that's the problem. See, you and I are like, yeah, I'll obey. And you're out there fishing with your little Snoopy pole. You know, I'll do it my way as much as I want on the timetable that works for me. And you wonder why other people have these huge blessings. If Peter had completely obeyed, both his ships had been on the ground and all them fish had just swum up on the shore. You know, I mean, it just, you just don't know. Because the Bible tells us that God is a bigger blesser than we can imagine. What kind of blesser are you when your kids only half-heartedly obey? What kind of a blesser are you when your kids delay to obey? And what kind of a blesser are you when your kids obey with an attitude? Are we surprised? Some people say, well, I'll obey if you bless me. No, that's not how that works. I'll love my spouse when she meets my needs. That's not how that works. I'll do for him if he'll, and once he starts doing for me. No, no, that's not how it works. Okay? That's not how it works. Obedience first. Blessing, then you understand. Understanding comes later. Obey, and then the blessing. Look at verse 8. And when Simon Peter saw it, at that moment, Welcome to the party, Peter. Welcome. Look who woke up. Because at that moment, he finally figured out who Jesus was. The miracles weren't enough. He saw the miracle of that demon boy getting released. He saw his mother-in-law sick of a fever on her back come up and start cooking dinner the minute Jesus rebuked it. He saw people. Man, there's a line around the corner. They're coming, and there's people shouting and screaming, and they're being healed. Why, that man threw his cane away and walked off. But it wasn't enough for Peter until it happened to him. And that's when he woke up and he fell down at Jesus' knees. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. The Bible says in Romans 2:4, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. You know, if you'll take a minute and remember how good God is to you, all the blessings you have enjoyed, not the ones you've missed. Let's just look at the ones you have. Let's count our blessings rather than our bruises. It'll cause you to repent from your pride. For he was astonished and all that were with him. What a testimony to James and John in the other boat. At the draught, that's a boatload, draught of fishes which they had taken. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 3:20 if you're taking notes. Listen to what it says. Now unto him. Do you see that? Look at that. Now unto him, that's God, that is able. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above. Now, those are adjectives. They're adjectives that help define distance, space, size, mass, and quantity. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask. One of the reasons people say, well, why do you keep going back to that prayer advance? Because every time I go, I'm challenged to deepen my prayer life. First couple times I went, I was awoke to the idea that God's bigger than the prayers I'm praying. He's bigger. He's more powerful than what I'm asking for. I should be asking for more, for bigger, for his glory, not mine. That was something I learned after the third or fourth time going. It's about him and not about me. And he's able to do that which is bigger, above that which I could ask or think. And I got a vivid imagination, right? He can do more than I could imagine according to the power that worketh in us. Verse 10 back in Luke 5 says, and so also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And they brought their ships to the land and forsook all and followed him. He told those men he would make them fishers of men. Now, I like to fish. I really do. I don't go very often, but I like to fish. And, you know, successful fishing and soul winning is kind of the same. It's kind of the same thing. It takes courage and daring. It takes patience and determination. It takes a willingness to work together and a willingness to help one another. It means not quitting until all opportunities of success fail. You know, Jesus commanded all of us to be fishers of men, by the way. But when presented with the opportunity for a blessing, Peter said, don't fill my boat. No, thank you, Lord. If it means I have to do this, then you can just go back on shore. The scary thing is, brothers and sisters, we're going to get to heaven and there's going to be warehouses of blessings that we could have had we told Jesus not to get off our boat. How many times have you and I done that? How many times have you and I said, no, thank you kindly, if it means throwing my net back in the water, if it means I have to go back through all the mess of what I've been going through, just no, thank you. Have you done that? Don't fill my boat, Lord. I'm good right where I am. Really? Are you? Are you currently happy with the level of blessing you're living under? You know, it's interesting. I think God's spout will do more than a trickle if we obey. And you say, well, I'm being blessed. That's good. And I have friends who say, I'm too blessed to be stressed. That's good. That's good. But I think God can do exceedingly abundantly above that which you're doing right now. And he's waiting for us to obey. You and I were told to fish. You and I were told in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Now let me stop for a second. This is the last command Jesus will give his church before exiting this world. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Now, I'm not in the military, never been in the military. I don't even play a military guy on TV. But let me ask you a question. Is it still true that when your commander gives you an order and leaves, you're to execute the last standing order you were given? Is that not still the same anymore, Brother Bruce? Is that still the same? Oh, yeah, affirmative. Okay, affirmative. You are to execute the last order given you. The last order given to you is found in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. He'll make you fishers of men. So, let me ask a question. How many of you ever led somebody to the Lord before? Anybody? Who's led somebody to the Lord in the last month? The last year? Do you understand? God wants to use you. He wants to use you in a way that you can't even imagine. He wants to bless you. You know, God is a bigger blesser than your boat can handle. I just don't know if you understand that or not. I remember off the movie Jaws, we need a bigger boat. You know, the more you obey, the bigger the blessings. Because you reap what you sow, you reap more than you sow. And if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. And the Bible says in Galatians 6:9, if you don't become weary in well-doing, you'll reap. In due season, you'll reap. It's like fishing. You know, can any of us, though, look in the precious face of our Savior when he comes for us and say we don't owe him our obedience? When you think about all of the sin God covered for you, can you honestly say we don't owe him obedience? No, we owe him. He deserves it. Not just because of what he did, but because of who he is. Now, I'm not here to guilt you into anything. I'm here to tell you that God offers blessings for obedience. But he puts it on a trickle if it's with obedience with an attitude, obedience that's partial, or obedience that's delayed. You know, I didn't deserve salvation. And I've been bought with a price. Well, Pastor, I live a good life in front of them, in front of my kids, and in front of my coworkers. I understand that. And that's called lifestyle evangelism, but that's just one net. What if Peter had dropped all of them? You know, if all we did was just one, it's good. But Jesus said, cast down all the nets. You know, the other thing is target evangelism. Is there people you know who are lost that you really ought to talk to God about before you go talk to them about God? Do you target people in prayer? You realize when you witness to somebody, you're asking a lost person to make a spiritual decision. The reason you got saved is because somebody prayed for you and the ground was fertile in your heart, and then the seed got sowed. Now, you say, well, I don't know anybody that prayed for me. Oh, when you get to heaven, people will line up and say, I prayed for you when you were a baby. I prayed for you when you were a little boy or girl. I prayed for you. Little Laura Mayo will meet me in heaven. Little 4-foot-nothing lady's going to meet me in heaven and say, Johnny Mix, I knew God had something for you. She died long before I got saved. Who are you targeting in prayer? That's another net you can throw in the water. You can target somebody at work and you can pray for them or in your family. You know, prayer is as big as God is. Prayer reaches as far as God can reach. Nothing is outside the reach of God except that which is outside the will of God. So God wants everyone to be saved, 2 Peter 3:9. That they all come to repentance. That none perish. So who is it? What lengths are you willing to go to obey God? What lengths? Can you target somebody in prayer and ask God? You say, well, I don't live where they live. Yes, but the internet reaches there. Or number two, God has a soul winner there that you could be breaking the ground up in prayer and the soul winner come by and win them to the Lord. Jesus said, let down the nets and I'll give you a boatload of fish. You know, it's our spiritual vocation to be soul winners. Why is this important? Because there's more fish out there to win than your little net can hold. So start praying for people. God promises blessings. In Psalm 126 and verse 5, the Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. It's talking about soul winning. See, we miss the joy. We miss the blessing. We miss the power in our lives when we don't obey. Now, like I said, you can target people. Well, I don't know what to say. How about you pray for them first? You start bringing down the walls by praying. And then number two, why don't you just try to build a connection, a friendship with them? How about you just stop by their desk and bring a Coke and sit down and find out their story? Try to find six or seven ways to touch their life. But the question is, do you understand that everybody who dies without Jesus Christ goes to hell? I don't care if they're a good grandma. I don't care if they were a nice guy. Jesus said, I am the way. That means there's no other way. I'm the truth and I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you're saved, somebody inconvenienced themselves and brought you the gospel. If you're saved, somebody inconvenienced themselves and prayed for you. Somebody thought more of your soul than whether or not you'd like them when it was over. Somebody cared more about your eternal destiny than their own schedule. Take your phone out, get the notepad, start creating a sweetheart list of people you'll pray for each day. I was challenged this week. Do you have your kids on your prayer list? Do you? Oh, I pray for my kids. How often? How long? Devil wants them. World's helping the devil to get them. What are you doing? Spend 8 hours a day at public school and so many hours a day on this stupid thing? Is that the Lord trying to reach them or the devil? You tell me. How much do you pray for your kids? You know, you have a phone, and it's got a calendar app and an alarm app, and it can ding you every morning and say, pray for your kids. If that's what it takes, are you willing to be inconvenienced for a couple of seconds each morning to beg God for your kids? Or do they have to be in a mess before you're awake to the fact that I should have been targeting my kids in prayer? Devil wants them. The world's helping them. Who's going to get them? Your neighbors, your siblings. Devil wants them. World's helping him. Who's going to get them, though, in the end? Let down your nets. You know, besides targeting, there's what I call opportunity witnessing. Divine appointments. How many of you ever travel on planes, trains, buses? You realize they're strapped in a seat next to you? Where are they going to go? Matt Lohman came here from St. Louis and was presenting his ministry and on the way home won a farmer to the Lord, just sitting in the seat next to him. God put you on that bus sitting next to somebody. How about you hand him a track? How about you leave a track in the bathroom? That's the most non-confrontational way. Don't you want to have something wholesome to read while you're in there? Pull one out, set it on there. When I buy gas, I go up to the gas tank or gas or pump, and they'll have that credit card holder for the credit card apps. I lift the lid, stick tracks in there. Why? Because it's shielded from the weather. And if nobody else gets it but the guy who owns the gas pump, hey, he got a track. How about when you're at the bank? Hardly anybody banks anymore. But you go to the bank, you go to the drive-thru, and they send your stuff back in that little tube, stick a track in it, shut the door, hit the button, and drive away before they can send it back to you. Huh? What are you afraid of? The blessings of God are greater than your little net. They're greater than your little boat. And what lengths are you willing to go to get it? You say, well, you shouldn't just do things for the blessing. Yeah, but God's like, here's all this stuff I want to do in and through you. I need you to obey. And the therapeutic nature of soul winning is just the beginning. It's just a segue into something even greater that I don't have time to talk about today. But it starts there with a concern for the lost. So let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Besides targeting people in prayer and telling them your story, besides witnessing to people that God puts in your path, how about you be a witness on the internet? How about you become a cyber saint? Huh? How about you put something godly, God-honoring, and witnessing out there on your newsfeed? Now, you folks in the military that are active duty, I understand the precarious nature of doing something like that. But there's coming a day when you're no longer going to be under those restrictions. You'll no longer be in the military. And you will not be judged, and your career will not be hammered for it. I understand you live in folks in active military. I do. But the rest of us don't have that excuse. Instead of putting things up that are worldly, let's put something up there that honors the Lord. Because if you're like me, your family back home sees it. Your high school friends see it. Your college roommate sees what's going on in your feeds. And you can be a witness. Our Heavenly Father, I know that the blessings that you offer are without pain and without struggle or grief. That's what the Bible says. But Father, I also know there's greater things in store for us than we even imagined. Help us today. Show us the area of our life we're not obeying in. Show us, God, how that there's more areas we can throw the nets down in and let you live through us for your glory. And Father, today, there's some here today that are burdened down with decisions they have to make and choices they have to make for their future. God, give them clarity of thought. Give them discernment of the problems they're facing at work. Give them a love for their family that goes beyond themselves and a love for their lost loved ones, their friends and neighbors that goes beyond themselves as well. And may we obey and you bless accordingly in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mrs. Mix begins to play and sing, the altar's open. Maybe the Lord reminded you of a friend that needs you to pray for them. Maybe it's your children who need prayer today. Maybe your children are wayward. They're adults. God can still reach them.
I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all." Jesus,
not too late to train your kids to be soul winners.
All to him,
it's not too late. Who is it that God credits with your salvation because they prayed for you? Because they gave you the gospel? Because they took time out of their life to care about you? That person loves you. You can be that for someone else if we'll just obey. Our Heavenly Father, I am thankful for those that prayed for me. I'm thankful for those who witnessed to me time and again, and I told them no, but yet they were persistent. I'm thankful, God, that they cared because it was near and dear to your heart that I be saved. And Father, let our hearts be knit to yours, that we'll care about the things you care about. And God, we know that you have blessings, that it's your pleasure to bless us. Father, let us be living a life that is blessable. And we ask that you do this for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.